I come with candy. Willie got some candy. Mm-hmm. Derek's got some candy. David's got some candy. Derek just had the worst candy take I've ever heard in my life.
I have to say I'm surprised. I'm a little surprised.
No, that is not. No. It is a sensible take I had. Very sensible.
It was terrible.
No, it wasn't. I'm going to explain to people, okay? And I'm going to explain it because Adam can't say what he said off air, so, you know, so I'm good. So
I can. I just have to clean it up.
But he gave everybody a piece of candy, which is great.
I gave Willie some Starburst.
I got some on Whoppers, which I like Whoppers.
David got a Snickers.
I love
Snickers.
There we go.
And I left myself a Milky Way.
A Milky Way. And I said,
ew.
Ew.
That's what you said.
Who eats Milky Ways? Milky Ways, to me, are the little brother of Snickers. They want to be Snickers so bad, but they would never be Snickers.
I agree with that part, but it doesn't make
it
nasty.
No, it's nasty.
All it is, it's a Snickers without peanuts.
That's a crazy take.
It's not.
That's a crazy. Nasty?
Yes, it's just awful.
So what you're saying is.
So like the peanuts make everything?
Yes, the peanuts. The way tastes of Snickers and tastes of Milky Way. Even without the peanuts, a Snicker is still much better than
a Milky Way. A Milky Way is simply a castrated Snickers.
What?
No nuts.
Sorry, Chase.
We were having a very philosophical candy conversation, and then it just took a big hairpin turn.
Oh, that's the first time I've ever heard that. Hey, people, it's Halloween, so give us a pass today. No, but that is a sensible argument.
This texter also agrees with you, and I say to this texter, I disagree with you.
Exactly.
They
Everybody
say Milky
knows.
Ways equal not good.
Exactly. Everybody knows.
So where
man.
Do you stand on Three Musketeers?
Oh, I despise Three Musketeers. I despise Three Musketeers. Why do they even sell? Because Three Musketeers is like the long-distant relative of a Milky Way. So you know how far removed that is of a Snickers, right?
Yeah. It's another level down.
It's but more than another level.
That doesn't
level.
Mean that they're – like when you say it's nasty, that means you're not going to eat it.
I'm not going to eat it. I will
– I'll take
I will take the chocolate off and leave the rest of the stuff.
Oh, man, that is harsh.
That's just how I am, man.
I thought I knew you, Derek Mason.
Well, now you do. Even more.
I don't know if I like this side of you. I mean, Milky Way hating side of you.
Everybody. There's even those individuals that are allergic to nuts. They love Snickers. And they want one so bad. When people pull out a Snickers, they want it. But then they remember, I can't eat it. It's got peanuts in it. Everybody loves Snickers. Not many people like Milky Way. Nobody loves Three Musketeers. I don't even know why they're even selling it. Is it a front for something? I am a conspiracy theorist. Nobody eats Milky Way.
These candy bars have been around for a long time. They've survived.
I'm going to ask y'all this. When does Milky Way and or Three Musketeers, when are they the most heightened? When are they the most recognizable? Halloween. Why? Because they want to get rid of it. It's no good, and they know it.
So
they never run out of Snickers.
Nobody comes into a candy store.
No.
Or, you know, a convenience store and selects that when you have
How many Milky Ways I see on the shelf, and I turn them over, and they expire. You know why? Because they've been sitting there for some years.
Because people will always take the Snickers.
Yeah, people always take the Snickers.
Okay.
They donate to Milky Ways.
You mean someone would hand out like the large size of Milky Way, and the other kids just be like, "No."
I guarantee you, if you put Milky Ways in a big tub on one side of your porch and Snickers on the other tub,
well, no one's
the
arguing
Snickers
that
are going to be gone.
Yes, I agree. It's a higher ranked candy bar, unless you have a peanut allergy.
Or look,
people do.
Look. Some kids would take the Milky Way, and like that story Adam told yesterday, the mom would look in the bag, take it out, and throw it, and walk away. Nobody eats Milky Ways. Just saying.
Matthew from Jolton, noted Michigan fan on our text line, says, Milky Way is nasty, so I guess Milky Way is like Michigan State, just the little brother.
Oh, man. See? We had to take it there, didn't we?
Indeed.
Oh, man. I'm not going to even talk about those other people on the other side
Indeed.
Of the street. They are a trick or treat.
So
I have a question.
Yes.
For all of us. And it's something I thought about last night as I was in this chair watching the Predators lose to the Flyers. When will being a Nashville sports fan stop sucking so much? More specifically, a fan of the two major professional teams in the city, because it sucks right now. The Titans are the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked. And the Predators can't score to save their lives. And it's just, we're down bad in this city right now. I've said this many times this week. Thank God for Vanderbilt football. Thank God for a team that is playing well and playing a game this weekend with actual stakes, which we will discuss throughout the program. But when was the last time it was this bad? The Tennessee Titans. Here's something that I found interesting. The Titans, if they lose by double digits on Sunday to the Chargers, and let's face it, I would assume they're going to lose by double digits to the Chargers. It would be the first time since the franchise relocated to Tennessee that the Titans have lost four consecutive games by double digits. For the first time since the franchise relocated to Tennessee. The Titans have lost 39 of their past 49 games. Think about that for a moment. 10 wins over nearly three calendar years. Just awful. And the Predators, bless their hearts, they tried last night against the Philadelphia Flyers. They were throwing everything at the Flyers. Willie can attest to that. He was there. But they just can't score. 9 times in 12 games, the Predators have been held to 2 or fewer goals. So it's not fun. It's not fun being a Nashville professional sports fan right now. And I don't know how we're going to get out of it. I just don't know where that light is at the end of the tunnel.
I would suggest a more well-rounded portfolio.
Ed Bandy.
You can't have just two teams. You know, you need to have other teams. Like some people, I'm sure, will text you immediately and say, what about Nashville SC?
We talked about that off air.
And, of course, there are the Commodores right now riding a wave.
Not a professional sports
team. Tennessee's doing well. If you're a Vols person, you got that. So I think, Adam, my suggestion would be just broaden your horizons. You know, go with the flow.
It's easier said than done.
Jump on the Blue Jays bandwagon tonight.
But they're not a Nashville team. The afflictions of Nashville sports, professional sports, that is. But it's ironic because if you just look back at both of these franchises, and I've said this before, and it's getting weirder by the year. Both of these franchises are up at the same time, and both of them are down at the same time. It seems like both of them changed coaches at the same time. Now, the Predators don't have this central problem I think many people believe the Titans have, and that is management, the one problem. But if you're just talking about the team, coaches, and the seasons, it seems like they've ran parallel to one another. When the Titans are bad, the Predators are bad. Or when the Predators are good, the Titans are good. For whatever reason, it seems like it aligns up more like that than not. So this team I know, and I'm talking about the Titans, unless they hit it big in this next draft and those first-year guys take a huge step forward that second year, they may be in this sort of lull that they're in for a few years. And when I mean a few, I should have said more like 3 or 4. But they need the quarterback to pop, and that helps. They need to add more around him. And that's why I said if this next year's draft doesn't come in and contribute right away and this year's draft doesn't develop more, then, yeah, they're going to be stuck in that in this sort of cycle for a few more years. But if they do, then in the world of football, you could turn it around in a matter of a year. But everything has to hit the right way because we've seen teams do it. I'm not sure if it's that way in hockey because, you know, for years, you know, Chicago was at the top and then all of a sudden they've been at the bottom for years after that. Detroit went through the same thing. So it takes a little bit longer in hockey than it does, say, in football.
That is true. And I hear what Willie is saying. Broaden your horizons. Look, college basketball season.
It's just right around the corner.
It's just around the corner.
Vandy seems to – they got a pretty good team coming back. I know the girls do.
But we know that our listeners are passionate about their teams in this city. First and foremost, the Titans and the Predators. And when I even remembered, oh, the Titans play this weekend, I'm like, oh, my God, the Titans play this weekend. I'm going to have to watch that game, aren't I? Like, that's where I am with the Titans right now versus Vanderbilt, for example. I'll be hooked on that game, no pun intended, that playing the Longhorns. I will be hooked on that game tomorrow morning. But it's just bad. It's the Titans don't seem to have any real path to getting back to relevancy. The Predators, I said this, Willie, on Wednesday before you joined the show. The saddest part about where the Predators are right now is that the Predators aren't trying to be bad. They are trying to be competitive, but they're just bad right now. That's even worse. It would be one thing if the Predators were trying to be worse and taking a step back and rebuilding, but we've talked to Barry Trotz about this for a long time. That's not what his aim is. His aim is to field a competitive roster that can be a threat in the Western Conference. And that's not happening.
But it's early. I mean, this is a novel.
Did we not say the same thing last year, though, with the Predators? It's early.
Oh, my God. They were way, way worse last year at this point. Way worse. What makes it hard right now is that they're having to play a style that is a grinding style, and right now they're not scoring. So, but I thought last night they played very well. They deserve better. Last night. The problem is when you're in a scoring slump and you've lost a couple, it weighs more. But I'm not ready to throw in the towel on the Predators yet. I realized as we sit here today, I completely get the vibes of it's not looking good, but there are plenty of games coming up. I think when they leave for Sweden, where they're at will be very important. And there's a lot of games between now and then in a very short period of time.
I feel like the Predators aren't that much ahead, at least record-wise, versus where they were a year ago. They're 4-6-2. That's what, 10 points in 12 games? Through 12 games last season, they were 4-7-1, which is 9 points. So they are 1 point ahead of where they were last year. I know that the process is a bit different.
Yeah. See, this is part of the problem, guys. This is part of the problem with Adam.
They are up, though.
They're 1 point up.
Yeah, one. Hey, but
they didn't start 0-5. That's a good thing. But it's rough out there right now for Nashville sports fans. It really is. I wish we had more positive things to discuss with our professional teams. It's just not there right now. And as I said, we have Vanderbilt at least for now. A huge game tomorrow against Texas. We will break down that game. Chad Withrow will join us in the 4 o'clock hour. He'll help us break down that game. We'll look ahead to some other college football games as well. Another big game in the SEC between Oklahoma and Tennessee. But it's just, as Matthew from Jolton says, I am already looking at the draft for the Preds, and it's not even November. Mm. One texter says, think optimistic. Not many teams can say they haven't lost a playoff game since 2022. That's one way of looking at it, I suppose. But how are these teams going to get out of it? Derek's right. It's easier to turn things around in the NFL, but the NFL trade deadline is on Tuesday, and if Chigakonkwo is traded, and I think that's a pretty fair bet, wouldn't you say? If Chigakonkwo was traded, that means that the Titans will have zero players from their 2020, 2021, and 2022 draft classes. That just won't cut it. That has a lot to do with where these teams are right now. And the Titans released their injury report. They're not going to have Jeffrey Simmons. They're not going to have Calvin Ridley. They're not going to have Arden Key against the Chargers. Last I checked, the Chargers are favored by 9.5. It wouldn't shock me if the Chargers come in here and bludgeon the Titans at Nissan Stadium. I don't know if I'm going to predict another 20-point loss as I did last week. But give us some hope. Give us some hope, Predators and Titans. We're desperate for hope.
Well, you're going to keep hoping at least for one of the teams. Again, the Nashville Predators, it's a long season, but does it look any different this year at the beginning than it did last year? Yeah, they are up a point, but how much of it looks different? I would say UC is playing better than he did, but it hasn't equaled two wins. And then the Titans, I think everybody understands and realizes where they're at. Their season is pretty much done. Now it's trying to find, you know, some silver linings in a huge, you know, Category 5 storm. And 9 times out of 10, you ain't going to find that. So I'm with Willie in the sense of it's early in the season. I know much doesn't look different, but say, and I'm not advocating for this, but just say if Barry comes in and say, listen, we got to make a change. And he makes a change. And based on, you know, what you are saying, there should be a bump. Now, how the bump would look, how many games, or how the team would look is a different story. But he can come in and say that, and that may change things during the season.
One texter says, if the Predators lose to the Flames tomorrow, by the way, the Flames, the worst team in the NHL, the coach will start hearing it big time. They may have to cut him midseason. And I love Trotz, but his guys aren't producing so far. Joey from Bellevue says, what did we do to deserve such poor performances from our Titans and Predators? It's October, and both are a long shot of making the playoffs. Well, you don't need to talk about the Titans making the playoffs. That's over. That's way over. Long shot is being generous to the Titans right now. But one texter says, here you go. You want hope for professional teams? It's Nashville SC. Had a huge playoff match at home tomorrow night against Inter Miami to keep their championship hopes alive.
Hey, I accept it.
I'll take what I can get.
Exactly.
I'll take what I can get right now. It's rough out there.
If we had a professional bowling league and they won a championship, we need to talk about it. Do we have a professional bowling
we
league
do not.
Team?
Vanderbilt has an outstanding bowling
team. Yes, Vanderbilt has an outstanding team. Outstanding. Yes. But, yeah.
It's a world of Milky Ways out there if you're Derek Mason.
Yeah, that's what
it's
it is.
It's a world of Milky Ways out there.
No Snickers.
Next time you see Derek Mason, just hand him a Milky Way. Just keep one in your car, keep one in your pocket, and if you
or a
Three Musketeers, and if you happen to see Derek, just hand him a Milky Way.
slap him out of your hands with the quicks. Wop wop.
615-737-1025. I didn't mean to bring everybody down on Halloween, but I'll try to uplift you over the course of the rest of the program. 615-737-1025. Speaking of the local professional football team. Cam Ward said earlier this week he feels he's improved in every game. Do we agree? We'll discuss. 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service.
Results haven't been what you wanted, but as you look back to your first game to now, do you get the sense that you've improved like you wanted to play?
Yeah, I think I improved every game. From an operation standpoint, from a play calling standpoint, to getting in and out of huddle, to knowing where guys is, to being an NFL quarterback, I think every game has got better. Then for each other position, every game we've had together, we've got better chemistry at. Because practice is a lot different than the game. So, you know, I'll continue to work with those guys, continue to work with me, and we're going to continue to be better.
That was Cam Ward earlier this week saying he's improved in every game this season. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. We are brought to you by Bax Homeworks, which transforms kitchens, bathrooms, and living spaces into places you can't wait to come home to. Get a free estimate now at baxhomeworks.com. If you look at the statistical splits, the first three games, there was the play calling change from Brian Callahan to Bo Hardegree. Of course, Brian Callahan then fired. Mike McCoy comes in. So if you look at the first three games versus the next five, Cam Ward's completion percentage is up. His yards per attempt are up. His passer rating is basically the same. That's only one way of looking at it, though. Derek, as you have been watching Cam Ward, do you agree with his assessment that he feels like he's improved in every game?
I think he has gotten a little bit better, but I think he also has stayed sort of stagnant in some areas too. The place that I think he stays stagnant what is his ability to not get out of the pocket. He's the same since he's gotten here. And that's not going to work for this offense. He has to find a way to get outside the pocket and run, get yardage when there's yardage to be gained, because it's hard for them to gain yardage through the air. And the conventional way running the football, it works 50-50 with that at best. So when you have an opportunity to run the football as a quarterback, you have to do it. And he's basically stayed flatlined in that area. And he needs to improve. I think if he improves with that, the team improves. The offense improves, I mean. And then he improves as a quarterback because now he gets to sort of get outside the confines of what they've constructed for him as far as that play. And he's able to find – because he has the ability to keep the play going for a couple more seconds. Well, now you got to add – running to the equation as well, because teams don't think you're going to run now. So they're just plastering on their man. And when you show the ability, even the slightest ability to run, that means now they got to be conscious of you while trying to guard their guy. They know you're not running a football now. They know it. So they stay plastered to their guys, and it makes it harder for you to find guys down the field. So I think that part he stays stagnant or gotten worse. The other stuff, I think him surveying the field, it's gotten better. He needs to improve on his down-the-field throws because he has missed a few big shots. Now, maybe it's him getting more familiar with the receiver and them communicating, then it'll get better. But if that had already been going and you're still, missing things down the field, in particular those corner routes, then that has to improve, because those routes are going to be open more times than not because people try to protect the middle of the field. But he is right. He is getting better at some things, but I think some things either he's gotten worse at or he needs to start getting better.
I think that's a great assessment. I do think in general, and it's not linear. It's not like, hey, look at the numbers each week. They're a little bit better each week. That's not how it's gone. But I feel like every time he gets through a game, survives it, has the experience under his belt, and learns from it, he improves. That's how you improve. You get the reps. You learn from mistakes. So I think he's improving. But Derek has definitely hit on something that he has to add to his portfolio. He's got to be able to escape. He's got to be able to run when he needs to run, and he's got to be able to take less sacks. It's obvious. I think there are some things he does very well and will continue to get better at as they hopefully put better pieces around him. So he's improving, but there are a lot of levels that he's going to need to get to, because remember what the standard is. He is the first pick in the draft. He's not a guy that was a nice second-round pick who they've put in there as a rookie. He's not a low first-round pick that they decided to take a flyer on. Nope. He is the guy. So he is being held to the highest standard based on what they passed up to take him. So he's got a long way to go, but he is improving.
The one thing that I've liked over the past couple of weeks, and it has a little to do with Cam Ward, is the emergence of Chim Dike. He has really stood out to me. He's been one of the few bright spots on this team, racking up a ton of all-purpose yards. Really, really good returner. I would defer to Derek Mason on his judgment of Chim Dike on special teams. But from what I see, really good returner. And we talked about this at the beginning of the season. Willie, you had the Titans question, one of your 10 Titans questions, which group of pass catchers would end up with more combined yards? And I was, in hindsight, stupid to pick the veterans as opposed to the youngsters. But with the way this season is going, really all you can hope for the remainder of the season for the Titans is that you see growth in Cam Ward, but you also see growth in the other younger players who you hope are part of the solution, such as DK, such as Aya Manor, such as Helm. You can throw Tajay Spears in there if you would like.
I would throw him in there, but I think the other three, I think it's clear, wouldn't you say, D-Mace, that this is something to work with if you're trying to cling to. Of course, Adam started the show off with the most negative thing he's ever done. Hey, it's Halloween, everybody, it's Friday. Here's the most negative thing I throw out there. Both teams, there's no hope. Oh. But that is something that I think you could try to get a little traction with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that there does appear to be a chemistry and I think a work ethic between the three young receivers and the young quarterback. Those are all rookies. Like I feel like there's room for development there.
Yeah, there is. Gunnar Helm, I think they will try to get him into the mix, especially if they decide to move on and trade trade Chig. So his numbers may start to pick up, and it seems like they want to target him. He's more to me of a red zone threat because of his height, and that's what he did at Texas as well. So he's going to, I believe, his numbers are going to go up, which for me is a good thing because now you're building rapport with young guys that hopefully will develop as you're developing and will be here for the long term. Elik. He just needs to get more consistent. It seems to be a lack of concentration at times with him because he's a big body. He's shown that he can make some of these tough catches, but he also shown that, there could be a lack of concentration and he drop balls or he's paying attention to the hit rather than the ball. So I think he's coming on. But the guy that you need to watch, I believe, is DK. Because of his ability to run, his ability to return, he understands, positioning. He understands leverage. He understands when he sees that hole, he got to hit it. He's a running back that knows how to play receiver, a receiver that has running back skills, however you want to put it. But also, you can flex him out. You can put him at slot. You can put him outside because he has speed. He's a deep crosser. He did that a lot when he was with Florida. Reverses. They have to use him the way that Kansas City, he reminds me of Percy Harvin, but they need to use him like Kansas City used Tyreek Hill at the beginning of his career, because Tyreek wasn't polished as a receiver, but he was their return guy. And what did they do? They sprinkled him in here and there, reverses. You're in the Florida game getting you because you are a big play waiting to happen. DK is a big play waiting to happen. And if nobody on that team sees that and is not recognizing that and needs to gear that offense more around his skill and what he can do, there's something wrong with them.
Damian on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, says, I think Cam needs to trust his eyes more. Looks like by the time he realizes the guy is open, it's too late when he throws it to them.
I mean, that has been – he's been slow. And I said at the beginning of the season, I think he's gotten better at it. But he, just because you've gotten better doesn't mean you don't need to improve even more. He's not, because the texture is right, but he's not the same quarterback now in regards to that than he was the first couple of games of the season, because first he was really slow and he's made some incremental gains, but he still has a lot to learn when it comes to that in this league. And he may not even figure it all out this year. It may be next year that he figures the rest of it out. But you're right. He does need to get better at that area. But I think he has gotten better. But it doesn't mean he doesn't need to continue to work on that.
I think that is really the theme for all of this. Mm-hmm. Is it's not going to happen overnight. I just don't think there's going to be a game where you say, well, he's got it now. He's got everything. It's going to be these little things, these incremental. A little bit better touch, a little bit better accuracy. I don't – the question for me is, what is the ceiling? And I don't see a super high ceiling. I think this will always be something that follows him, is If your ceiling is a best case of a number one overall pick, like a Peyton Manning, or you know, the best number one picks, I think we may be disappointed, unfortunately. But I think that if you have reasonable expectations and you take away all of the weight of being the first overall pick, I think he can be a good starting quarterback in the league that hopefully has that ingredient, right, that competitiveness, that work ethic, that will continue to have him be solid and get a little bit better the more he plays. That's what I'm hoping for. Do you guys see differently? Like, I don't see a freakish, unbelievable superstar in the making here, but I think he can be good.
You don't see, and listen, I don't think, at least I didn't expect it. You don't see, because what you're talking about is what we see from Jackson, Mahomes, or let's go Josh Allen when he was, you saw some things, and he ends up being who he is now. Whether it's Jaden Daniels or one of these other young quarterbacks that have shown, and it's like, okay, we have a whole body of a season to look at them, and they perform well. Drake May, same thing. He performed well. Now he's performing even better his second year. So we have samples, huge samples, of what it could look like. It's not looking that way with Cam. And some of it may not be his fault, you know? I think those quarterbacks, with the exception of Drake May, I think they walked into a better situation than Cam Ward did. Now, Drake May, it may not have been as bad as Cam's, but it was bad last year for him. But you saw something in him as the season went on that you were like, okay, this guy, like, he can throw the football, he can extend, he can run. He do all those things that you need to have a quarterback do when your offense isn't as efficient. And when he can't throw, he can still get some yardage running. Cam hadn't showed all that. He hadn't shown all that. He's shown some that ability, that the arm talent, yes, but he hadn't shown that whole package. And he may not show it this year, maybe next year. So you're right. He hasn't. We haven't seen that. And we may not see it this year. So
615-737-1025. Cam Ward thinks he's improved in every game. Do you agree? 615-737-1025. We'll get to your calls and texts. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circus Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall this Monday. Prior to the Monday night football game, head on up there and join them for the Monday night matchup between the Cardinals and the Cowboys. D-Maze, Finn, Gidendonic, 1025 The Game. We have to get in the Halloween spirit. A little Fresh Prince, right?
Oh, yes.
Nightmare on my street.
And I don't even want to tell you what happens to DJ Jazzy Jeff at the end of the song. Not good. Not good. Jeff! Jeff! Don't fall asleep.
And Jeff fell asleep.
He fell asleep. Mm-hmm.
That's bad news. Mm-mm. That's bad news. Talking Cam Ward, he says he's improved in every game. We assess that. 615-737-1025. Let's go to Tim on our phone line. Tim, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
Yes. I don't see any improvement. And Willie, you said something a minute ago that we need to separate Cam being the number one pick. You can't do that. He was the number one pick. He's supposed to be the best player.
Well, then it's over. You're always going to be disappointed if that's the case, I think.
But I'm not the best number one.
Hey, Tim, thank you for the call,
give
Tim.
Give him a second. Give him a second.
Okay. Tim, call back once your phone.
I want to hear you out. I want to hear you out. I did not mean to jump on you, but
yes.
I think to be fair to Cam, this has to be what happens. And look, I'm the guy that the next day said that was bad. That was not the right thing to do, knowing what you could get for that pick. But I realize it's very, very difficult. And I always use Corey Davis as an example. Of when you're held to the standard of the number one pick is supposed to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
You can't live up to that. That's never going to happen. He's not likely to be that. You have to hope. Let's be realistic, reasonable with what we see, and hope that he can be the best version and that they don't ruin him before that. That's what I'm worried about, that they're going to ruin the guy just like so many other guys before him, right? It's much more likely that he's going to get crashed and burned, and thrown to the gutter than it is he'll be a Hall of Famer. So I think we have to be realistic with the expectations.
Do we have Tim back? No, different caller. Okay, we'll get back to Tim if he calls back. I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, Willie, about separating the player from his draft slot.
Right, because it's not his fault.
Understood, but rightly or wrongly, there is a certain expectation that comes with that draft slot, and not all number one picks are created equal. In all sports, you can go back and look at number one picks throughout history in the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, and you'll look back and say, that guy was the number one overall pick? It happens more often than you think. We've talked about that a lot as it relates to quarterbacks specifically. But with that distinction comes an expectation that a lot of players struggle to live up to. Let's go to Adam from Portland on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Adam, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
I tend to agree with Willie. Like, I think if you treat Cam a certain way, you got to treat Will Levis the exact same way, in my opinion. Like, because I blame it on the coach. And I thought Will Levis was the dumbest quarterback that's ever played quarterback. But I realized after seeing Cam, who I think is a very impressive and mature person when it comes to his football knowledge and skills and being so mature about the football position or quarterback position, and him struggling the same way Levis did, I'm convinced we had the dumbest coach ever. So I think Cam and Will Levis should actually have an opportunity to compete with each other when he's healthy. Because we all saw that Falcon game, man. That wasn't just like a fluke thing where he knows how to do that pump fake and he can just airmail him like that. He didn't just forget how to do that. Like, I think he had a lot of bad stuff coached on him, too. So, I don't know, dude. I'm looking at Cam, and I'm like, however we treat him, we got to treat Levis the same way.
Thank you for the call, Adam.
I think we got to, and you're right. When you're drafted number one overall, one is honor and a privilege. But whoever's drafting you, they are saying, or at least they should be saying, you are the best person in the draft to us. And we are drafting you because you're going to change our franchise. No matter what position, tackle, guard, if you make that mistake in draft at number one, center, it doesn't matter, whatever, cornerback, they are drafting you number one overall because they believe that you are going to change our franchise. Let's just look back at the last, since 2010, because you're right. When you're drafted number one, there's an expectation. But do you always achieve that expectation that was put upon you? You may have gotten accolades, but it's not about accolades when they draft you number one. It's about championships. Sam Bradford didn't win one. Cam Newton went to one when they win one. Andrew Luck never went to one. Eric Fisher eventually ended up going to one, but they drafted Patrick Mahomes. Jadeveon Clowney, no. Jameis Winston, no. Jared Goff did go to one, yes. Myles Garrett, no. Baker Mayfield, no. Kyler Murray, no. Joe Burrow, yes. Trevor, no. Trevon Walker, no. Bryce Young, no. Caleb Williams, no. And Cam Ward, as it sits, no. So I understand, and I can go back further to the number one picks. I can go back to 2000. So I understand what people want, and this is what the teams want. But more times than not, it's not going to happen that way. So if you draft him number one, and I said this when they drafted him, I didn't care about him being the best player in the draft. He was the best player at the position that they needed the most. And they felt that he was going to change their franchise. And they drafted him. Now, it may just end up him being a really good quarterback and they make it to the playoffs all the time and they have a few bites at the apple as far as the AFC championship. It may be that. Or it may be he's just average and then one season he leads you to a playoffs and a Super Bowl. So it can go either way. We've seen it in the NFL. That's just how it is when you're talking about the number one pick. I'm not talking about everybody else under that. I'm just saying the number one pick. So I understand what people are saying. I understand what Willie said because that is what is expected. But because it's expected of you, even if we label you the G word, generational. I'm going to use it right now. Generational. That doesn't mean you're going to win the championship. Andrew Luck, generational. He didn't even make it to a Super Bowl. Now, he retired early. I get it. But he didn't even make it to the Super Bowl.
But this is the problem with that. Not a single person evaluating Cam Ward had the G word associated with him. In fact, nearly everybody did not have him as the first pick if you were listing all of the prospects. So not only was he not a surefire overall number one pick because he was quarterback, he was somewhere between 6th and 10th on the board.
Well, there was two teams that were going to draft him because the Giants would have drafted him.
Well, okay, that may be, but once again, we have to try to be fair to Cam Ward. Mm-hmm. But that caller, who I guess has disappeared, he's gone into the no cell phone zone where he was driving. Mm-hmm. But he is that guy. He's that guy. Hey, he's the first overall pick. He's supposed to be a Hall of Famer,
and he's not wrong in what he's thinking, because that's what we are led to believe. Like, no matter what, if you are the number, even though history tells us more times than not, they're not going to be that.
Yeah, he's always going to disappoint that caller, exactly, unless he becomes Joe Montana, which I'm pretty sure he's not going to be. But I'm looking at it as, can he, because Adam's question is he improving? I think he's improving, but he's got a long way to go, and he's in a gasoline fire. I will say it again. He is trying to do this
with cotton draws
in a terrible environment to try to grow, and this is the problem. So there is a bigger chance that he will crash and burn than there will that he will succeed. So I'm hoping he
succeeding
can get
succeeding meaning
it.
What? Like, what
succeeding
is
succeeding
your
being a good quarterback on a winning team that can win playoff games, and maybe mm-hmm. on a team that has the right personnel you could win a Super Bowl with.
One texter says, we should also consider what Cam may think of as improvement. I'm sure he's improving mentally, mechanically, and getting used to play style possibly. What do you think?
I mean, those are the things that you know, that allows him to feel more comfortable as a quarterback. Those things that the texter mentioned. And sometimes those things aren't something that necessarily, you know, you can pick up right away. Now, some of that stuff does manifest itself, you know, as the season goes, with how he's reading the coverage, how he's progressing through his read, stuff like that. So it ultimately does manifest. But those are the things that, like the caller, like the texter four or five texts before that, or the caller was, he said, well, he's not improving as a passer. He's still slow. Yeah, he's still slow, but he was much slower than that. So it's those incremental things that we're not seeing that will hopefully manifest itself into it showing as the season continues to go on.
We've got Tim back. Tim, thank you for calling back. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks. Hey, and what I was going to say is, you know, I don't think him not making the progress is on Cam. It's coaching. He hadn't had any help. And I think the kid works hard. I think he's a hard worker. I think when you drafted the number one pick overall, there's a certain amount of I guess you're going to have to be that pick. You know, the Titans are saying that he's going to be the quarterback of our future. Well, I don't know. I mean, we don't have a coach of our future right now either, so that hurts him. But, you know, if we're all the time talking about wanting to get trade and get draft picks or something, why not, when there's not a clear number one draft choice in this draft, why not trade back, get some extra picks, and then take somebody else? Because if you look at the quarterbacks, the rookie quarterbacks right now, who's the best rookie quarterback out there?
Jackson Dart.
We could have traded back and got Jackson Dart.
Understood, Tim. Thank you for the call.
Ship has sailed at this point, and what
but
I think,
he's not playing great either. So let's say, is
but
he playing,
Jackson Dart has had at least some of those moments. It's aided by the fact that he is the quarterback of mm-hmm. the New York Giants.
They it have helps, a better team than the
but
Titans.
It also helps to be the quarterback of the New York Giants.
Well,
you
hurts
get
too.
It does. That's mm-hmm. true. You get more airtime when mm-hmm. you are the starting quarterback of the New York Giants, and he has had some really good moments. Mm-hmm. Cam Ward, that comeback against Arizona.
Nobody saw it.
Precisely.
No, and I get it. And you're absolutely right. One guy is on a stage that is going to showcase both his ability to play the game, but then also his ability to not play the game at this level right now because him being a rookie. But you're going to see more of the highlights than you will see of the lowlights of him, unless it just gets so low they can't help it. But, you know, you had a guy that he's playing just a little bit over okay, but his team is much better than the team Cam's on. So, you know, ultimately all this will play out between those two. You know, people are going to, because the Giants offered so many picks, they're going to say, well, you could have had Jackson Dart. Well, maybe, maybe not.
615-737-1025. We will continue to take your thoughts on Cam Ward and the Titans, who are preparing to take on the L.A. Chargers on Sunday at Nissan Stadium, the Titans' final game before their bye week. Chargers are favored by 9.5. on the road at Nissan Stadium. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we turn our attention to yet another biggest game of the season for the Vanderbilt Commodores and a fascinating quarterback matchup, assuming one of the quarterbacks is going to play. But we will get to that next. 615-737-1025. Speaking of the Titans game on Sunday, if you are looking for a great spot to pregame, you should stop by John Bon Jovi's and pregame with us at 102.5 The Game. JBJ's has the best food on Broadway, cold beer and cocktails, and stunning skyline views, including two epic rooftops. Pregame show is brought to you by Parma Tractor and Equipment and Circus Sportsbook Kentucky.